You are tuned in to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Greetings, and welcome to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. I'm your host, Lance White. Tonight, I'm delighted to have Ken Rolla return to the show. Ken is a natural health educator and inventor from New Smyrna Beach, Florida. He's been teaching classes and retreats since 1993 on rejuvenation and cellular regeneration using raw and sprouted vegetarian food, herbs, food-based natural supplements, detoxification, emotional healing, reprogramming of limited unconscious beliefs, ancient esoteric techniques, and cutting-edge science. With a background in electrical engineering, physics, and computer science, for 23 years he worked a variety of jobs in the medical industry, from the patient level to the national policy level. A cutting-edge researcher, Ken has studied with many pioneers in the natural health movement. He has done groundbreaking research into monatomic minerals and ormus, which work at the quantum levels. His work on scalar devices has had profound effects on negative fields produced by cell phones, chemtrails, and radiation. He's also had a powerful near-death experience and has had contact with ETs. You can find out more about his pioneering health research at www.freshandalive.com. His blog is located at www.beyondrawfood.com, and we'll announce those again at the end of the show. So let's welcome Ken back now. Hi, Ken. How are you?
Hi, Lance. Very good. Thank you for hosting, having me.
Oh, it's a treat to have you here because, you know, there's so much that we can delve into, and you transcend any categories. You know, you can pretty much talk about anything. I thought that I might leave it up to you to just kind of be spontaneous and decide what the most important topic might be to begin with tonight.
I can do that. I can do that because I know people, I get a lot of emails and calls about certain topics. Mm-hmm. And the last time when we talked, we were talking about Ormus elements and scalar energy and what you can do with them, and I didn't realize that the show was 1 hour. I was thinking it was longer, so I was going to talk about a topic that people really want to hear about, which is what can you do with this stuff, and specifically,
yes.
You know, how can you clear, for example, chemtrails and nuclear fallout out of the sky with this stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Because basically, anyone with a little bit of knowledge and some stuff from a home center and eBay can build devices that can clear a 30-mile diameter over their town of this chemtrail fallout and nuclear fallout.
And so I could use that today.
yeah. So I'll get into the specifics of that, and then there are other topics that people always ask me about. For example, what to do about smart meters. And there's other topics. People a lot of times want to talk about ETs or my work with Martin Luther King's family, so we can talk about that too if we have time.
Wonderful.
So with clearing these chemtrails, I guess I'll start with where I got introduced to it. Probably 4 or 5 years ago, I started noticing in my clients when I would have them go get testing that they were showing these heavy metals in their bodies, particularly aluminum and barium and strontium. And I suspected it was coming from the sky because there's no way that all of these, probably 85% of my clients were showing these in their bodies. And so I suspected it was chemtrails. And at the time, there wasn't that much information out there about them. And as more information grew, I also was seeing occasionally people with Morgellons disease. which is a really gruesome disorder where you have lesions all over the body and you have these filaments growing out of your skin that's kind of like fishing string, which comes from ingesting or breathing in a genetically modified organism that's a cross between a fungus and a bacterium. So scientists aren't looking, and doctors aren't aware or looking for genetically modified organisms typically. And so Morgellons was this big mystery. But I was seeing this in my clients, and I suspected it was coming from the sky. And fortunately had methods for dealing with it in people's bodies. But so I was already suspicious of chemtrails, you know, this stuff being dumped in the sky. And then when the Fukushima nuclear accident happened, or I say accident, it sounds like it was engineered, but at any rate, the catastrophe at Fukushima, when that happened, I realized, having already been familiar with Chernobyl and the fallout that came to the U.S. and went around the world from that, and the effects from it, the mortality rates that increased and cancer rates and all the disease and things that came just from that fallout, I knew that it wouldn't be long before that fallout from Fukushima would be hitting the United States and spreading across the globe. And so one of the things I did immediately was spend a couple thousand dollars on sprouting seeds so that I could get uncontaminated seeds. And then I started looking to see if there was anybody using scalar energy to neutralize radioactivity, because I had worked with a man named Yule Brown back in the early 90s who had developed water fuel technology that could neutralize radioactive elements. And I had known other people that had done it in various ways. For example, Tom Bearden, he actually applied for a patent for a method using scalar waves to neutralize radioactivity. And all the way back to 1975, really before then, but in 1975 there was a professor emeritus in physics at Arizona State University named Radha Roy. That's R-A-D-H-A-R-O-Y. Radha Roy figured out how to neutralize radioactivity, high level and low level, and he was very credentialed and renowned and wrote papers about it. And, you know, it, why it had never got out, of course, is another story. But at any rate, there's been multiple ways of neutralizing radioactivity for decades at least. And so I knew that was available, so I started looking around to see if anybody was out there using scalar energy to neutralize this Fukushima radiation, because it was supposedly a scalar energy weapon that caused the earthquake that caused the accident or caused the catastrophe. A few days after, maybe 2-3 days after the catastrophe, I figured it was probably a scalar weapon that caused the earthquake. I was suspicious of that, so I Googled it, and sure enough, I came across the Benjamin Fulford, who was the former editor-in-chief of Forbes China, interviewing the Minister of Finance of Japan, the guy who reports directly to the Prime Minister. And the minister was saying that the United States had used scalar energy weapons to create the Fukushima accident, and not only that, but they had used it twice before in an attempt to blackmail Japan into economic policies against China, apparently because China, of course, has a big, big influence on our economy, but also increasingly countries were threatening to use the Chinese yen as the world's reserve currency. And so at any rate, the United States, according to this Minister of Finance, used these scalar weapons to create the earthquake that created the tsunami. And so I figured, well, if they can create earthquakes and they can neutralize radiation with this stuff, there's got to be somebody out there working on this. And so I started Googling and found out that, sure enough, there actually were a lot of lay people around the world who were using this material called organite that's a homemade material to clear chemtrails out of the sky.
Oh.
And basically what you do is put a bunch of crystals and metal powders in a resin that shrinks, like fiberglass resin, and if you construct it right, it will create these skater vortexes that will spin up into the atmosphere like upside-down tornadoes, and as they fold in on themselves, they get stronger and stronger, and they will take these ionized particles, the nuclear charged particles and pollutants, and pull them out into space. It just so happened that I already had a powered skater wave generator. years before, I had developed this device I call a stress shield. It's a portable skater wave generator that gets you into deep sleep and relaxes you and de-stresses you and stops jet lag and stuff like that. And so when I realized what people were doing, and the people that were making these things didn't understand the physics. They were just kind of copying some people that had channeled some information. So I thought, wow, I wonder if I take this powered skater wave generator and modify it so it can be used outdoors, if it would have an effect. So I did that, and I took a lot of people's work, Nikola Tesla and Wilhelm Reich and a man named Carl Hans Wells who had developed that material, which is called organite, and a bunch of others, some pyramid scientists, Alexander Golod, who's a Russian physicist, and Konstantin Korotkov, and George Lakovsky, and a bunch of others that I'd been studying their work and the process of developing the technologies I already had. And so I built, while I was thinking about building a device, we already have these devices we make that are little pyramids that put out a field that will get you into deep sleep and de-stress you and protect against EMF, called the rest shield. And so we had some of the pyramids. They're basically a little pyramid made out of this resin material with an antenna inside of them, and then that's hooked to a circuit. And so we had some that we had cast, and we were letting them cure out in the sun, minus their circuitry. And there are about, I think, three or four of them sitting out on my picnic table out in my backyard. And I was out mowing the grass one day, and I looked up into the sky, and I saw this really big, fat chemtrail being laid really low in the sky, and it was spreading. But as it was spreading, it started boiling and spiraling and just dissolving and disappearing. And I thought, what the heck is going on with that? And so when I got done mowing, I got back to the house, and I saw those pyramids sitting on the table, and I thought, it couldn't be. But I thought, well, let me do an experiment. So I pulled I drove around town because I noticed in the area around my house that I could see there weren't any chemtrails, and the skies weren't hazy like they had been. So I drove around town and I realized that there was an area about 5 miles in diameter that was clear, and then all around it was haze and chemtrails, skater wave pattern. Because along with these chemtrails, whoever's doing it also apparently bombards the area with skater waves, probably from devices like HARP and Gwen Towers or these other X-band radar. And it will put this telltale signature in the clouds that look like sand waves in a sand dune or perfectly parallel lines or checkerboard patterns or fractal patterns. And so that was all around except in this 5 mile area, roughly. And so I thought, okay, well, let me go back home and stick a few more of these out and see if it grows. So I put a total of 5 of them out there and waited a few hours and then drove around, and it had expanded to about a 30-mile diameter. And I thought, no way, this cannot be. And so then I put 7 of them out there, and I drove around and drove around, and it cleared about a 75-mile radius. And so I thought, wow, this is pretty cool. I wonder what it would do if we powered them. And so I wound up building this prototype device where I put basically 7 of those pyramids all in one contraption and with a powered circuit, a skater wave generator circuit. Mm-hmm. And stuck it outdoors, and it cleared a 75-mile radius very, very well. And for about 6 months, there was absolutely not one chemtrail in the sky. And then all of a sudden, right around Thanksgiving, somebody must have noticed, because all of a sudden they started chemtrailing really heavily and bombarding the area really heavily with skater waves. And you could see these signature patterns up in the sky. But it would dissipate quickly because the device was out. But they just kept bombarding and bombarding and bombarding and bombarding for days after days after days. And it would clear it. It would take anywhere from 6 to 12 hours to clear it, but it would clear it. And so I just noticed that they would go through periods where there wouldn't be any chemtrails for weeks, and all of a sudden, and usually it was around a holiday when people were going to be out and around, all of a sudden they would start bombarding really heavy with chemtrails and skater wave activity. And so so I went around and started teaching people about how to make these devices themselves, and was doing that for about almost a year. And I was in Sedona at a conference teaching that, and when I got done teaching, a lady came up to me and said, I was surrounded by people wanting to talk to me, and this lady comes up. She said, you're on somebody's radar now. You need to stop what you're doing or you're going to get hurt. And I had already worked with, you know, people like Yul Brown developing free energy who had been shot at and killed, and so I take warnings like that very seriously. I had already been warned by a bunch of other people who had been attacked. So I just stopped. You know, I just stopped teaching and doing lectures about it. But I can tell people how to make their own device. And there are, if you go online, you go to YouTube or just Google and search on Chemtrail Buster or Cloud Buster, you will see people showing how to make these devices. The devices that I've seen on the internet are overly complicated because the people building them don't really understand the physics, so they kind of take a lot of materials and are expensive. But I can tell your listeners exactly how they can make their own device, and so people can do this for themselves. And basically, all you need to do is go to one of these home centers and get a 1 or 2 gallon bucket and get a gallon of fiberglass resin, which you can get in the paint departments at these stores. And you can also get it at a lot of these big box department stores. And then go online and search for quartz crystals. You can often find them on eBay. And get about 5 to 7 quartz crystals, natural quartz, not cut quartz, not cut and polished quartz, but just natural quartz crystals, about 4 inches long and about 1 inch in diameter. Get 5 to 7 of those. And then get maybe 1 or 2 pounds of some amethyst crystals, any size from maybe 1 inch or smaller will do. You can also get some kyanite, which is K-Y-A-N-I-T-E. You can get small crystals of that, or you can take it and break it up. Selenite is also a good one. That's S-E-L-E-N-I-T-E. And let's see, what else do I put? Selenite, quartz, amethyst, and what else do I put in there? Selenite, quartz, amethyst, kyanite. Okay, so selenite, quartz, amethyst, and kyanite. Okay, so those four. Just take those four and get your 5 to 7 large quartz crystals and tie some dental floss around them and tape them so that you can hang them straight down into the bucket with the tip of the crystal close to the bottom of the bucket. And just, arrange the crystals in a circle or in some, you know, geometric pattern like a circle or a hexagon or something like that. And have them, you can make some kind of a jig, cardboard or sticks or whatever, so that you can hang these crystals down into the bucket in a circle or some kind of arrangement. Evenly spaced so that the tips are pointing down to the bottom of the bucket. And then get your fiberglass resin and mix up enough to fill that bucket and cover the crystals. And probably about 3/4 of a gallon would do it, depending on the size of your bucket. If it's a 2-gallon bucket, you might need a full gallon. And take that resin and mix in, oh, maybe a cup to a half cup of each of the crystals that you've got. And then just stir it up really well, and then mix the hardener into it so it'll harden up. Stir that really, really well.
Mm-hmm.
And then pour that around into the bucket around the crystals that you've got hanging there.
Mm.
So what you'll have is 5 to 7 large quartz crystals hanging down, pointing toward the bottom of this bucket. You pour all this resin in with all these crystals, surround all of those big crystals, and let it harden. And within a few hours, it'll harden up. And oh, and by the way, with your bucket, spray the bucket with some kind of oil, like cooking oil or coconut oil or PAM or something like that, so it'll release from the bucket.
Mm, right, right.
And usually fiberglass will release, but just to be safe, spray it with some, or rub it down with some oil, and let it harden up, and then pop it out of the bucket, and turn the end of the casting that has the tips of those crystals, put it outside so the crystal tips are pointing up toward the sky. And within a few hours, that thing will clear chemtrails and jump in the sky.
Well, that sounds fairly easy to do.
It is easy, yeah, and it probably, you're talking about somewhere in the order of $75 to $100 for materials, so it's not very expensive either.
Right, right.
And
very good.
So that's a simple thing you do, and of course you can take that concept and you can make smaller devices, put them around your house, and they will help with the EMF, and because they put out scalar frequencies that are natural frequencies that are being pulsed through these crystals, they're going to enhance any kind of life form, so they will help get you into deep sleep. They can be used to structure water homeopathically in beneficial ways. They can be used for pain relief, all kinds of stuff. I have people that take my discs and put them in their refrigerators, and they say it makes the food last longer and taste better. I use it. I have a beverage dispenser full of water in my kitchen, and I put them underneath that and have it structure the water homeopathically. A lot of different uses for them. Aside from that, and so that's it in a nutshell. They also will help protect against EMF if you construct them properly, and so you can put them around your computers or wireless devices. You can carry them with you if you make little small ones. The trick is having small particle sizes. Oh, I forgot. There's one ingredient I forgot, and that's metal particles. So you can go to locksmiths or any of these places that cut keys, and get little metal shavings or metal powders, and doesn't really matter what kind, as long as they're not, you know, radioactive.
Right.
But, brass, aluminum, copper, iron, steel, whatever, and put that into the resin before it hardens. So along with your crystals, put these metals in there.
Okay.
In about the same quantities as the small crystals, about a half cup to a cup each, depending on, what you're using. Altogether, maybe in a 2-gallon bucket, maybe 2 cups of metal shavings or powders. The finer, the better.
Okay.
And what that does, the crystals contain ormus elements in them. I know for some people listening, maybe this sounds like a bunch of New Age nonsense. but if you want to understand crystals and what can be done with crystals, you can actually Google MIT Open Courseware, and you can find MIT University has all of their courses on video online for free. So you can get a 4-year education from MIT for free online.
Wow.
And they have courses on crystallography. So if you think crystal use is a bunch of nonsense, it's used extensively in science and electronics, and MIT has heavy-duty courses explaining crystallography. So if you think this is nonsense, first go check that out. But at any rate, what makes this work is this. These crystals, we talked about ormus in the last discussion.
Mm-hmm.
These minerals, volcanic minerals, are very high in these monoatomic minerals, which are superconductors. Crystals are also. And so hidden within the crystalline lattice of a crystal, you've got these ormus elements. And normally under conventional analysis, if you like the acid test analysis to find out what something's made of is called spectroscopy. And basically, you burn stuff and you observe what light spectrum come off of it, and you can tell what it is. Well, the problem with that is when you do that, it destroys the Ormus elements and converts them into other elements, and so they don't show up in spectrographic analysis. But they are in there, and they're hiding. They're kind of this metamatter that's hiding inside of crystals, and they, because they're superconductors, they give crystals this what's called the piezoelectric effect. And so when you strike a crystal, it will shoot out electricity. That's the piezoelectric effect. That's how a gas grill starts. When you press that little red button to fire up a gas grill, you're just smacking a piece of quartz and it's shooting out electricity. Well, when you squeeze on a crystal, it puts out a scalar field. Instead of shooting out electricity, it puts out a scalar field. And it's the monatomic elements hiding in it that do that. And so when you put it inside of resin and the resin shrinks, it will squeeze on the crystal and create scalar fields. They already put out scalar fields to begin with, but when you squeeze them, they put out more. And then if they're surrounded by metal particles, that will kind of even out the field and even out the scalar waves.
So that's the concept behind it.
Yeah. And so, I mean, I could get technical with it, but, you know, it's like the metals kind of act like an inductor in terms of electronics. But at any rate, so that's kind of, in a nutshell, the science behind that. So you can make your own organite, as it's called. There was a man named Carl Hans Wells, who I believe was in the 80s, developed this material by studying the work of Wilhelm Reich, who had developed devices that were sort of like this, that they weren't made out of this material, but they put out what he called orgon energy, which is scalar waves. So we owe Wilhelm Reich and we owe Carl Hans Wells a debt of gratitude for coming up with this idea. And then another man named Don Croft, his wife channeled a bunch of information about how to construct these devices. And so that's what you mostly see on the internet is Don Croft-style devices. But if you want to get into the details of it, you can go to welz.us, wells.us, and Carl Hans Wells has webinars that you can attend, and he discusses how to make this stuff in detail. But at any rate, anybody can make it. It's just amazing, and it's a very empowering thing to do.
Oh, absolutely. I've recently been reading, finding that there are more reports about Fukushima that are distressing or disturbing, in that they're saying that it is, they're continuing to say that it's much worse than it has been reported, and that the progress on it is fractional for a number of reasons. And what about the radiation? Now, do these devices help with that?
Well, these static organite devices, I don't know if they will pull the radioactive particles out of the sky.
You'd have to ingest something, wouldn't you?
What's that?
Like, you'd have to ingest something in your body, like some kind of...
Well, to pull it out of the body, yes. Yeah, I mean, and that's something I teach in my workshops, is how to detoxify the body for this and other things. Basically, to get out of the body, you use zeolites, you use angstrom and monoatomic minerals, you use chlorophyll in various forms like chlorella and spirulina and blue-green algae and wheatgrass juice and medicinal mushrooms. There are lots of things that can pull radioactive particles out of the body. And by the way, for the people that... are loading up their thyroid with iodine, that's not the way to go. What you do when you take iodine, even like Lugol's iodine or nascent iodine, they load the thyroid up with non-radioactive iodine, but it's not supposed to be there, and it can cause problems in the long term. It does prevent radioactive iodine from getting loaded up in the thyroid, but a better approach is to simply take detoxifiers every day like zeolites that will pull the stuff out of the body so that the thyroid doesn't get loaded up. And then there are also herbal extracts, for example, that I use that will do that as well. I do major detoxes a couple times a year, and when I say major, I mean like 6 weeks long while I'm working. And, for example, there's a company called God's Herbs that has a radiation formula. We sell that on our website at Fresh and Alive. Then also herbsoflight.com, L-I-G-H-T. They have a brown seaweed extract that's phenomenal for pulling radiation out of the body. Apple pectin is great for pulling radiation out of the body. There are a lot of things that you can do to pull radioactive particles out of the body. Fukushima is horrific and probably worse than when it started, because from what they're admitting now, the reactors are fissioning open air and they have melted down through containment and are melting down into the ground, and so it's probably horrifically bad. I know even at the beginning it was horrifically bad, because during the first 2 months that Fukushima was going on, the Japanese Meteorological Research Institute, which is kind of their equivalent of our EPA, they measured 13.5 quadrillion becquerels of radiation going into the ocean alone, and that's 13.5 million million becquerels of radiation in 2 months. And, of course, rather than increasing the monitoring that they were doing, they shut monitoring down, as well as the United States, EPA, and Canada, Health Canada, they all shut their monitoring down after a few months because they didn't want people to know how horrific it is. So absolutely,
well,
it's very bad. But as I tell people, when you understand how consciousness creates reality and how this scalar energy we've talked about before, how it manifests into reality, the polarities of energy that created these problems, the opposite polarities, have simultaneously created the solutions. And there are a bunch of people out there who have the ability to clean this up very quickly within weeks or months. It's just that they're not being allowed to use it, because if you end nuclear power, you're going to end the whole justification for the nuclear industry, including the nuclear weapons industry. And the nuclear powers on this planet are not about to give up their nuclear edge. And so that's why, one of the reasons why, they are keeping these technologies suppressed that can clean this stuff up. But as far as will these chemtrail busters clear nuclear fallout, I don't know if they will. My power device will. And I haven't done enough scientific testing to prove that unequivocally, but I can say that when I've run these things, these powered ones, the fallout and the chemtrail stuff does not come back down in the rain. So I believe what it's doing is taking it up into space based on the work of Alexander Golod, who was using pyramids to do this. And Golod's pyramids were, he built very large pyramids, like 140 feet high, and his biggest one. And those would create these big scalar wave vortexes that would, and he had the science and the money to prove it, that it was neutralizing radioactivity and pulling these particles up into space, not dropping them back down onto the ground. Because these scalar waves that they generate are, they're vortexes of energy that are like upside down tornadoes that spin in vortex, and as they spin away from you, they actually get stronger as they go away. And so they actually are, they fold in on themselves just like a tornado and get stronger as they go away from you. And so that's how they're able to pull this stuff up into the sky. So I don't know if these static devices are strong enough to take it out into space, but I do know my powered one is, and I'm sure there are other people that are building big pyramids and things that are doing it as well. And then, of course, you know, the real solution is to neutralize it, and there are multiple technologies for doing that. But in the meantime, certainly people can improve their odds by building these chemtrail busters.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And it sounds like kind of like fun, too.
It is fun. It's stinky nasty, though. The fiberglass resin is awfully, awfully toxic and nasty, fumey stuff. So if you're going to make these, do it outside and use good ventilation. And you can, you know, $30, $40, you can buy a mask that will filter out the fumes. So I would highly recommend doing that if you're going to use those resins.
Well, you know, I don't know if you've ever heard of this, but a friend recently picked up on it, and she has started using spirits of turpentine in small quantities to heal her body and to help with pain and various other things, and she's having some incredible results with that.
Interesting.
And I don't know anything about it other than that I just had an email today about it, and I'm sure that there are many different approaches that are unconventional that we may not have thought of that contain some kind of, you know, phytochemicals or subtle elements that work within the body.
Very true, very true. There are so many different ways of healing things, and I know I was reading just the other day about Edgar Cayce using something or recommending something called oil of smoke to heal some disorder, and the person, you know, nobody knew there was such a thing in existence, but Cayce in one of his trances told the person some pharmacy to go to, and apparently it was like hidden on a shelf for like 50 years, and they found it.
Wow.
So yeah, there's all kinds of crazy stuff out there you'd never think of, but I focus on the things that are tried and true and available and affordable for people, and I also teach people how to make their own. I teach people how to make their own supplements and things that can heal themselves so that they don't have to spend gobs of money.
That's really important, especially when the banks are, you know, controlling the governments and squeezing the last penny out of everything that they can get and forcing everybody into poverty, basically.
Exactly, yeah. And to keep people in survival mode, then they can't
Exactly, and then that
protest.
Conjures up fear. And then, of course, when you're coming from survival mode and fear, you're much more easily controlled and manipulated, as we know.
Yeah.
One thing I wanted to ask you about, I know that most people know this, but what is the difference between the life force of, say, large vegetables that are contained at a large supermarket chain that are raised on corporate farms and, say, organic vegetables, and then vegetables that you might raise yourself? And I have heard that the super chains irradiate all the vegetables and meats now, and that there's even nanobacteria being used on meat products, which replicates in order to eat the bad bacteria for longer shelf life.
Yeah, it's absolutely horrific, and that's a good question because I have been testing food over the last few years because I want to know this for myself, because even organic food is no longer really worthwhile.
Right.
But you're exactly right. They're using nanotechnology on produce now. They're using nanoparticle sealants on fruits and vegetables to keep them fresher longer. And like you said, GMO bacteria and all kinds of horrific stuff. And, of course, packing meats in CO2 so that they won't turn brown and on and on. And irradiating, yes. They're, you know, it's like 15 years ago there was only one irradiation plant in the U.S. Now there's over 100.
Wow.
You know, doggone well they're using them. So yeah, conventional food is horrific. It's not food. It's merchandise. No way. You know, it may look like food, but it's not food. And I have this discussion with my staff, who some of them still really don't get this. And you would think, you know, working for me, they would, as much as they hear me talk, but. But it's always, of course, you know, a money issue for people, and people will say, I can't afford to eat organic, and, you know, that's not a valid argument, because I know people who are very poor who eat organic one way or another. They either, you know, if they find a way, either they volunteer in a food co-op, or they grow their own, or they pool their resources with others, or they buy from community sustainable agriculture gardens. There are many ways to get what you want if you believe you can do that. But most people have been brainwashed and mind-controlled into victimhood and just give up and cry and whine. But at any rate, the food, conventional food in grocery stores is horrific, and of course probably at least 80%, probably 90% of the packaged foods are now contain genetically modified ingredients. So it's not food. It's merchandise to make money for them. Organic food isn't a whole lot better. I mean, it's better from the standpoint at least you're not doing that horrific damage to your body. But the problem with organic food now, of course, one thing is that it's picked before it's ripe, so it doesn't have the nutrients it should have from the beginning.
Mm.
Most organic farmers, even though most of them are well-intentioned, they don't really know how to build soil and get nutrient-dense food, and a lot of them aren't that concerned with it. They just, as long as they're adhering to organic standards, you know, there's a lot of times not even a lot of concern for the nutrient levels in the food. And then also, I know like in Florida where I'm at, even if you're growing organic, there is no money for enforcement of organic standards. So, you know, it's rare that people get caught when they're fudging on growing organic.
Right.
So all of those factors contribute into food that's, even when it's labeled organic, a lot of times it's not truly toxin-free. And, of course, you've got fallout coming down on all of it now, and chemtrails.
Right.
And then it's depleted of nutrients, sometimes incredibly so. Sometimes 85% of the nutrients are no longer there that were there 100 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
And so it's a major, major problem. And I see this when I was working with individual clients, that young people are getting old people's diseases now because a combination of factors, more toxins in the environment, and also lack of nutrients from
mm-hmm.
birth in their body.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so they just do not have the immune systems and the strength genetically that their parents had, because they are so much weaker. And, of course, their parents were weaker than their parents.
That's right.
So that's why you typically see, at least I see, working with people in their 60s, 70s on up, who are much more robust genetically than younger people, simply
mm-hmm.
because in their formative years they at least had more nutrients in their food than we have now. So we've all heard the problem. You know, we've heard this before. We know about this stuff. What's the solution? Well, supplementation is one solution, and a lot of people out there who are teaching about nutrition will say, oh, you don't need a supplement, you should be able to get all the nutrients from the food, and that's absolutely true. You should, but you
should,
can't.
Right, but if you can't...
unless you're growing it yourself, and
right.
you're growing it with, you know, nutrient-dense methods, which is something else I teach. So one option is growing your own food, but most people don't have the time or ability to do that. One thing that people can do is sprout. Sprouting doesn't take much time, and you can get huge amounts of food for very little money.
Mm-hmm.
You can grow sprouts indoors in trays of soil. You can grow outdoors very quickly and easily. My wife and I grow a variety of sprouts, and in 7 to 10 days we have gigantic trays of, you know, many trays of different sprouts, sunflower and clover and alfalfa and fenugreek and buckwheat and a whole variety of things, lentils, just lots of different variety with lots of different nutrient values, different types of nutrients. Lots of chlorophyll, very nutrient dense, because I don't just stick them in trays of soil. I will foliar feed them Ormus plant foods.
Mm.
And so you can, there's a product called SeaCrop, SeaCrop. The website is sea-crop.com, and you can go there and buy a gallon of this stuff called SeaCrop, which is an Ormus ocean water concentrate. You can foliar feed your sprouts with that and radically jack up the nutrient levels, and you can get really nutrient-dense food. And if you're eating that kind of food, you're right, you don't have to supplement.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing that you can do is you can ferment your own superfoods. You can take herbs, you can take rock powders like azomite or rhyolite, Jersey green sand. There's a book called The Enlivened Rock Powders by Harvey Lisle, L-I-S-L-E. That book will tell you everything you want to know about rock powders. But you can take rock powders and ferment them in a bucket with water and molasses and a culture called Effective Microorganisms, which we sell on our website, freshandalive.com. It goes by the name of SCD, Pro Bio Balance. But you can just take molasses and this culture and 5 gallons of water. You take a quart of molasses, a quart of the culture, and 5 gallons of water. You can throw in rock powders to get minerals. You can throw in herbs to get different chemistry and phytonutrients. And you can tailor make your own supplement for you. And even if you don't know anything about herbology, you can go to herbal supplement companies and look at their websites and look at their formulas for various things and just read the ingredient list and take those herbs and put them into your brew. And you can ferment them and have gallons and gallons of your own high antioxidant, probiotic, nutrient-dense superfood supplements that you can detoxify the body with and heal the body with and provide nutrients and minerals in a format that the body can metabolize. And that's cheap,
interesting.
cheap. So those are the kinds of things I teach in my workshops and my retreats.
Oh, yeah. Do you have those links on your website?
I have... we sell some of the stuff on our website. I give out those instructions to workshop and retreat customers. So you can email us if you want instructions, and we can direct you to how to download them. It's really amazing. You basically, in 3 weeks, you can have a basic probiotic. In 3 months, you can have a probiotic that can do things like heal cancer, regrow hair, get rid of gray hairs. I mean, all kinds of stuff. You can tailor make your own brews.
That gets us into the idea of the possibility of reversing age, which technically we should never really grow old. It's just the result of all of the, you know, the toxins and the impurities and so on and so forth.
Exactly.
But
that's true. It's very true. What ultimately gets us is acid and calcification, mainly. Toxins and acidity and calcification. That's mainly what kills most organisms from degeneration. And so the more that you stay alkaline and detoxed and cleaned out and purified the mind and emotions as well as the body, then, yeah, you will age much, much slower and live much longer, much happier, much healthier.
Now, you mentioned healing cancer, and there was an article that I read just, I think it was today, that says that a person had gone on a course of daily regimen of juicing 5 pounds of carrots, and that over a period of time they had healed their cancer. They had, you know, the documentation and everything for that. Is that something that seems reasonable?
Yeah, I've met people who have healed themselves by drinking gallons of grape juice, beet juice, carrot juice, and most of these natural health centers that routinely heal cancer, most of them will poo-poo that and say you shouldn't be consuming that much sugar, which is true because sugar doesn't directly feed cancer per se, but it feeds all of the pathogens and organisms that help continue cancer. And so it's not the best approach to use a sugary juice like carrots or fruit juice. However, in the same breath, while I'm saying that, one of my greatest teachers is a man named Dr. Robert Morse. And his website is godsherbs.com, and he uses fruit juices heavily and heals cancer, and he's got a 90%+ success rate with it, and he's been doing it for over 40 years. But he understands how to use herbs to keep the pathogens knocked back while you're ingesting these fruit juices, which are very ionic. Fruit juices are very high in charged particles that pull out free radicals and toxins. One thing that toxins have in common in free radicals is they have a positive charge on them. So juices and a lot of these detoxifiers like herbs and mushrooms and other antioxidants, zeolites, for example, they have all strong negative charges, and they will pull these toxins and positively charged free radicals out of the body. So carrot juice will do it, but chlorophyll is a better way to do it. Typically, when I used to work with people, I don't have time, unfortunately, anymore to work with individuals, but I found the best results using a diet high in chlorophyll and juices high in chlorophyll initially, and then using herbs and supplements to kill off the pathogens for a few months before then starting to add fruit back into the diet.
Oh.
And so I found that to be a better approach than using lots of sugary fruit juices and things. However, it can be done, and I've met people that have done it.
Now, what do you recommend for those people who would like to begin to incorporate monatomic elements? We've heard of monatomic silver and gold and the rest of it, but you know, there are rivers like the La Mana in Ecuador that is said to have trace elements of gold and silver and various other things in certain parts per million, and they have incredible healing powers, and the sages have been going there for, you know, maybe hundreds of years and healing and drinking from those waters. What are some of the benefits, and how does it work, and where would you begin with monatomic, say, minerals and vitamins and consciousness-enhancing blends?
Well, first of all, I would say where not to go, because this is typically what people find on the internet with Ormus and monatomic elements is people directing to make monatomics alchemically, and by doing things like taking Dead Sea salt or some salt or mineral like that that has Ormus in it, and mixing lye and water with it and doing certain things to it, and precipitating out a white powder that people claim is Ormus. In fact, it's not Ormus. It contains some Ormus in it, more so than, you know, the salt to begin with. But those powders are not in a form that the body can utilize, and they are not in a natural state. And so they will artificially... if they actually do have Ormus in them, because a lot of times there are a lot of things that affect these Ormus elements because they're superconductors. They are affected by consciousness. They're affected by the astrological arrangements of all the celestial bodies around us, gravitation. There's all sorts of things. I mean, cell phones, fields, all kinds of stuff can affect these because they're extremely sensitive to fields of all kinds. So when you're making them, you have to know when to make them and how to make them, and even then, you may not get a good batch, but let's assume you do get a good batch. Well, when you ingest them, because they're not in a natural state, the electron spin is artificial in these extracted versions. They will, first of all, usually they typically cause a cleanse reaction, but they artificially shorten the time between thought and manifestation of thought. We have a safety buffer called time that requires us to have a certain amount of time and a certain intensity and focus on an idea before it manifests, typically, unless there's like severe trauma or a very strong emotion attached to it. And so when you ingest these alchemical Ormus elements, they artificially shorten that time between thought and manifestation, and so you can wind up manifesting things in your life that you didn't intend. So
right.
I always recommend against using these alchemical forms. So what should you use? Okay, it's really the tried and true methods that just have not been labeled Ormus that have been around for thousands of years. Fermentation, photosynthesis, spring waters from high Ormus sources that are typically known to be healing springs, or vortexing water with volcanic minerals or salts, like, for example, sea salt. Vortexing water in magnetic fields, that will do it. That will bring the Ormus elements out of the inorganic forms and make them angstrom and monoatomic sized. You can take any volcanic rock powder, or you can take ocean water, diluted ocean water. There are plant foods like sea crop or ocean solutions and others that you can dilute. And you can foliar feed them, or you can feed them to the roots of plants, and the plants will uptake them, create the monoatomics, and then you eat the plants. Or you can ferment them. You can take these things I just talked about, rock powders that are high in Ormus, volcanic rock powders. You can take sea salt, not dead sea salt, because you can't ingest it. It's toxic, but Himalayan salt, for example. You can take plants that are high already in monatomics, which they've already you know, they're already, for example, like aloe, very high in monatomic gold if it's, you know, grown properly.
Mm.
And so you can ferment them down. You can take herbs, you can take mushrooms and fungus, you can take rock powders and ferment them down, and microbes are nature's nanotech. They break all these macroscopic elements down into angstrom and monatomic particle sizes. And so if you ferment them in magnetic fields, or if you vortex them in magnetic and scalar fields, you'll get even more ormus. And so there's a product called the Vortex Brewer that you can find. It's made, it's designed for making compost tea. You can take that concept and put magnets on it and vortex it, and you will get much, much more ormus in it.
Well, speaking of time, and the time between magnets, we're just about out of it, and I want to make sure that we have a moment for you to, you know, share any final thoughts and your website, too, because, you know, you always have just wonderful information, just so much important links and information and empowering material that I'm just very thankful that you come on the show and share that all with us.
Well, you're very welcome, and I would leave people with this thought, that it's very important to understand that no matter how bad things appear to get, the solutions are already out there for them, and all you have to do is look around and find them. My main website is freshandalive.com. That's where we have our products, and you can see all that. Information-wise, beyondrawfood.com is my blog, and right now it's woefully out of date, but I'll be posting new information there. And then also on YouTube, we have a YouTube channel. If you search for Fresh and Alive on YouTube, or go to freshandalive.com, the homepage has a link to it. And also, I'm on Facebook all the time posting all kinds of new, interesting stuff. So that's one of the best ways to get updates from me, is to just friend me on Facebook. And I'm always posting, for example, free energy. All the time, there's new stuff all the time. Just free energy, free energy, free energy. It's ridiculous. So when you see those kinds of things, you know that there's hope.
All right. Well, Ken, thank you so much for coming back, and I'm sure that we'll be talking again soon in the near future. Thank you so much for being here tonight.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you, Lance.
All right. Good night, Ken, and good night, everybody listening.